do rejoice in God sending laborers out from among us into the harvest. Praise God for His kindness in sending them out from Greenville Christian Fellowship. May He send many more, amen, to do the work of the Lord, to share the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ, and to lead men and women into the family of God. I want to remind you where we are this morning in the book of Joshua. Last time I spoke to you, we spoke about the God who seeks and saves, and we only went through about half of the story of Rahab. And we saw how God providentially led those spies through the orders of Joshua to not only view the land, but to save a harlot. And we saw how God providentially orchestrated human intuition and then sovereign intervention. And we recognized also how God used all of the trouble that they and the spies came across, the enemy's trouble that was brought upon them, to bring Rahab to express faith. He uses his enemies to accomplish his purposes. Amen. But then we saw how God also seeks and saves by working in people's hearts. He works down in the depths of people. He reveals truth to them, and then He causes them to stand on that truth and to eventually express faith. But this morning I want to consider the pledge, the promise. What is the promise that Rahab wanted? She wanted a promise that what she desired in salvation, in being saved from the judgment of God in the land, she wanted a promise that it would take place. And she was given a promise, like each of us has been given a promise, in the scarlet cord. So I want to speak to you on this wondrous, glorious thing in the Word of God. It is a cord that streams from Genesis chapter 3, when God covered the sin of Adam with animal skin, all the way to the blood of the Lamb in Revelation. This scarlet cord of the blood of the Lamb of God, who takes away the sin of the world. So we will do that as I begin in prayer. Father, thank You for this scarlet cord. Thank You, Lord, that You're in control of this service. Thank You for the power of the Holy Spirit and the power of the Word of God to transform hearts and lives. We thank You that our Lord Jesus Christ, though He was rich, yet for our sakes He became poor, that us, through His poverty, might become rich. Oh, if there be one heart, one life in here that knows not the Son of God, may he come, may that person come to know and love the Lord Jesus. And may Your saints be strengthened with might in their inner man to claim the victory they have in the blood of Christ as they walk with You day to day. We trust You for it in Jesus' name. Amen. One day in 1909, a group of Alaskan miners called the Sourdoughs were sitting in a saloon in Fairbanks, Alaska. And they were talking about Frederick Cook, who climbed this great, big, tall mountain called Mount McKinley. And these sourdoughs were convinced that Cook never really took the route up the mountain that he said he did, so they decided to prove it themselves. And after a long climb, these three miners left their base camp and raced up the North Peak. They were carrying some donuts, thermoses of hot chocolate, and a 14-foot wooden flagpole. As simple as those three sourdoughs gone up Mount McKinley, they came down. And when they returned back to Fairbanks, Alaska, no one believed that they actually had made the ascent with donuts, hot chocolate, and a 14-foot flagpole. But in 4 years later, in June of 1913, some professional climbers reached this great summit at Mount McKinley, only to find the flagpole planted by the sourdoughs. You see, it was the sign of the flagpole that ensured that the words of the sourdoughs were true. Human beings are fickle people by nature. We want signs that ensure us that what someone says is true. Amen? Such was the case of this woman, Rahab. So sovereignly, God gave her one through a scarlet cord. Now, this scarlet cord tied in her window is what guaranteed her safety from God's judgment on Jericho and nothing else. All her confidence, all her hope, rested upon that scarlet cord that was tied in the window of her house. And what we shall see this morning as God's people is our lives are no different. For nothing can spare us from God's judgment on sin but the atoning death of the Lord Jesus Christ. Consider this wondrous sign with me this morning called the scarlet cord, reading in verse 15. We will not read the whole chapter. We'll start in verse 15. Then she let down by a rope through the window, for her house was on the city wall, so that she was living on the wall. She said to them, "Go to the hill country, so that the pursuers will not happen upon you, and hide yourselves there for 3 days until the pursuers return. Then afterward you may go on your way." The men said to her, "We shall be free from this oath to which you have made us swear, unless when we come into the land you tie this cord of scarlet through it in the window through which you let us down, and gather to yourself into the house your father, your mother, and your brothers, and all your father's household. It shall come about that anyone who goes out of the doors of your house into the street, his blood shall be on his own head, and we shall be free. But anyone who is with you in the house, his blood shall be on our head if a hand is laid on him. But if you tell this business of ours, then we shall be free from the oath which you have made us swear." She said, "According to your word, so be it." So she sent them away, and they departed, and she tied the scarlet cord in the window. They departed and came to the hill country and remained there for 3 days until the pursuers returned. Now the pursuers had sought them all along the road, but had not found them. Then the two men returned and came down from the hill country and crossed over and came to Joshua the son of Nun, and they related to him all that had happened to him. They said to Joshua, "Surely the Lord has given all the land into our hands. Moreover, all the inhabitants of the land have melted away before us." This morning, I want you to see three things with this sign regarding the scarlet cord. Number one, the scarlet cord is the way of salvation. The scarlet cord is the way of salvation. Now, we saw a couple weeks ago the condition for salvation was given in the words in verse 14. Our life for yours. Salvation is the transaction of lives. Our life for another life. Those are the conditions of salvation. But the question remained for Rahab: what would ensure that her salvation would be accomplished? Right? We all want that sign that what we hear is true is actually true. So Rahab wants a covenant of sorts. The deal, kindly verb, in verse 12, if you look at that in the Hebrew, where it says in verse 12, "Now therefore, please swear to me by the Lord, so I have dealt kindly with you," speaks of the entering into a covenant of sorts. It is, show me your commitment to me being saved from the judgment that is coming upon this land. Now, what I want you to see first is that this scarlet cord, though, is our means of escaping the adversary. It's our means of escaping the adversary. Look at verse 15. "Then she let them down by a rope through the window, for her house was on the city wall, so that she was living on the wall. She said to them, 'Go to the hill country, so that the pursuers will not happen upon you, and hide yourselves there for 3 days until the pursuers return. Then afterward you may go on your way.' The men said to her, 'We shall be free from this oath to which you have made us swear, unless when we come into the land,'" look at this, "'you tie this cord of scarlet thread in the window through which you let us down.'" They climbed down a rope, as we're told in verse 15, the spies, escaping her home on the wall through not only any rope, but through a scarlet thread. It's interestingly, the rope that was used was actually the scarlet thread that is spoken of here in verse 17. And it is quite amazing how God sovereignly orchestrates the beginning from the end in creation, isn't that? Some 1,500 years before the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ, God had these spies use a scarlet cord to escape from the enemy. Now, it's interesting to note in this passage, we do not know who had the scarlet cord. Was it the Rahab in her house, or was it the spies? I believe the Bible doesn't tell us on purpose to show us that the scarlet cord, comes from no man. No man could provide the way of escape. It comes from God. So it remains ambiguous here in this particular passage. But we see that this scarlet cord given to the spies enabled them to escape their enemy and fulfill their purpose of doing the will of God. Listen, Jesus Christ gave his disciples authority when he sent them out into the world as sheep among wolves. You remember that? They went out, they came back, and boy, they were all fired up because they were rejoicing over the authority they were given over those spirits. But as Christ's disciples, today is no different. As a child of God, we are given unique authority over Satan and his followers. But that authority, listen to me, is only through the work of Jesus Christ on the cross. It was the scarlet cord and the scarlet cord alone that supplied the way of escape. Remember the scripture, it says, through his death that he rendered powerless him who had the power of death, that is the devil. The Bible says, at the cross, God disarmed the principalities and powers and made a public example of them, triumphing over them in him. Look, Satan hates the cross of Christ because there his defeat was accomplished forever. Revelation states how the saints overcame the devil, right? By the blood of the Lamb. Listen, child of God, all that is necessary for your escape from the enemies is to grasp in your life what has been provided for you at the cross. He has severed sin's hold in your life. He provides grace to endure different, difficult circumstances, to find a way of escape in the face of temptation. You say, how is that? Through the blood of Christ, through the scarlet cord. There's always a way of escape from our adversaries. Our sins are completely forgiven if we are a child of God. There is now, therefore, no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. Satan has no rightful authority or claim over our lives. Now, why do I say all that about this particular situation? Because Christians, just like these spies, should lead fearless lives, even when they are surrounded by their enemies. Because Jesus has accomplished something so magnificent on their behalf in the fact that he has shielded them, protected them from their enemies on the basis of his work at Calvary, at the cross. Paul said, be not frightened by your opponents. Paul said, the Lord has not given you a spirit of fear, but a power of love, of a sound mind. The scarlet cord brings salvation not only to the sinner, we shall see, but praise God, it brings saving power continually to you, the saint. I wonder, do you know that power in your life this morning? Are you trusting in the power of the blood of Christ to enable you to walk victoriously over your adversaries? You can. He's provided it to you. He's given you the way of escape, the scarlet cord that he gave the spies. You know, the early American Indians had a unique practice of training young braves. On a boy's 13th birthday, after learning hunting, scouting, and fishing, he was placed in a dense forest in the middle of the night alone. And they would blindfold him and travel several miles away, and when he finally took his blindfold off, he was in a pitch black forest amongst wild animals. And every time a branch snapped, he thought something was about to attack him. Daylight seemed like it would never come, and as they waited and waited for the first rays of sunlight, finally in the morning, the light would show through, and the boy could see flowers and trees and the outline of a path. But you know what else the boy saw standing just a few feet away from him? It was his father, armed with a bow and arrow. He had been there all night long, though he had never seen him. My friend, because of that scarlet cord, because Jesus Christ became the substitute for our sins in the shedding of his blood, we have a Father who watches over us in the midst of our adversaries, who gives the blood of Christ to us to escape our enemies. Isaiah 41:10 says, fear not, I am with you. Do not be anxious looking about you, for I am your God. I will strengthen you. Surely I will help you. Surely I will uphold you with my righteous right hand. And notice, secondly, the scarlet cord is the only mark God accepts. The only mark. The men said to her, The next in the Hebrew is this: innocent are we from this oath to which you made us swear, unless when we come into the land, you tie this cord of scarlet thread in the window through which you let us down, and gather to yourself into the house your father and your mother and your brother and all your father's household. And it shall come about that anyone who goes out of the doors of your house and into the street, his blood shall be on his own head, and we shall be free. But anyone who is with you in the house, his blood shall be on our head if a hand is laid on him. Now here we notice very specific instructions that the spies gave Rahab for her and her family's safety. In fact, it says, innocent are we of this oath if you do not tie this scarlet cord. Now, Rahab could have had wonderful intentions in wanting to be saved. But if she didn't tie the scarlet cord in her window, none of it mattered. The necessity of her obedience must not be overlooked. In fact, we read, not only did she tie the scarlet cord in her window, but she had to, listen to this, shut herself in from the outside world. It's a picture of separation from the world. She had to tie the scarlet cord up, and she had to close the door and separate herself from the rest of Jericho. Now, the Bible makes clear the necessity of having the scarlet cord hung in the windows of all our hearts. Christ's death on the cross, the shed blood of Christ represented by this scarlet cord, listen, is the only way God's wrath on sin was satisfied. Sin must be paid for by the justice of God. His holiness demands it. There was no other sign Rahab could hang up to ensure her safety. Trusting in the work that Christ did on the cross, listen, is the only way to forgiveness of sins. There is no other way. There is no other mark. There is no other man. There's Jesus Christ and Him crucified. Think of Jesus Himself. In that garden, what did He pray? If it be possible, let this cup pass from me. Nevertheless, not as I will, but as you will. And He found out He couldn't let it pass. There was no other way than atoning for our sin. You remember what He told the two men on the road of Emmaus? Oh, foolish men, and slow of heart to believe all that the prophets have spoken. Was it not necessary that the Christ should suffer these things and enter into His glory? In other words, without the death of the Lord Jesus Christ on your behalf and mine, we are hopeless. Without Rahab tying that scarlet cord in her window, everything else she did was in vain. What you do in response to that offer of salvation is all that matters. What you do, it must be by faith, but it is a faith that works out obedience. It doesn't matter how much good you try to do on this earth, how many church services you attend, how many prayers you say at night with your children. That won't get you. from being spared from the wrath of God on all men? What matters is this: are you willing to identify your whole life with the death and the life and the resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ? She identified herself. I am his. Scarlet cord. It's the only mark God accepts. But thirdly, it's the one message we announce. Look at verse 18 and 19. Unless we come into the land, you tie this cord of scarlet thread in the window through which you let us down, and gather to yourself into the house your father, your mother, and your brothers, and all your father's household, it shall come about that anyone who goes out of the doors of your house into the street, his blood shall be on his own head, and he shall be free. But anyone who is with you in the house, his blood shall be on our head, if a hand is laid on him. We notice that the tying of the scarlet cord was not just a requirement for Rahab, but for all who wished to escape the judgment coming upon that land. She would have to communicate to her family that if you are not in this room, you will die. Your blood will be shared. You shall pay the consequences of what is coming upon the land. Now, Rahab would have had to communicate this same exact message to all her family. She would have had to go knock on her father's door, her mother's door, her brother's door, and say, listen, you have to understand what's coming. Now, if she just said, God loves you, I just want to tell you this morning, God loves you, and she said nothing else, and they didn't understand the grave consequences of lying outside that door, guess what? The blood that was required of them would have been shed. And we have the responsibility to announce there's no other name by which a man can be saved than the Lord Jesus Christ. There's no other way to escape the judgment and the wrath of God but by coming underneath what he has provided in his atonement for you. We have to communicate clearly the message of the gospel. Paul said, if any man preach to you another gospel, let him be accursed. True love is both grace and truth, like our Lord. Grace in the manner in which we deliver it. We deliver it in grace and in love. But truth in the message we convey. You see, the message we announce is the scarlet cord. No man can come out of being out of the judgment of God unless he is placed and identified himself with the work of the Lord Jesus Christ on the cross. But secondly, notice the way it must be secured. It's only one verse here. Look at it, verse 21. She said, according to your words, so be it. So she sent them away, and they departed, and she tied the scarlet cord in the window. Notice two things that Rahab did in order to secure her security from the judgment of God. First, she trusted in the truth of their words. Her salvation was secured because she trusted the words of the spies that they were true. Now, she lived in a land full of lies. We saw this a couple weeks ago. In fact, she herself had a propensity toward that sin, Rahab, even when she displayed an imperfect faith. But here we notice that faith begins with banking on the fact that something is absolutely true. Rahab had to place her trust in what God's people told her. So in Rahab's case, she must take the words of God's people as fact. You see, she didn't have the access to God's words like you and I have the word of God here this morning. She only had the words of God's people. What beautiful faith she must have possessed then, amen? Many people want to argue and deny the word of God and call themselves Christians. She hadn't but the words of their people, and she believed them. All faith begins with the fact, do you believe God's word is true? Do you believe that true faith isn't just me having some mental assent to facts, but actually works through my obedience? Listen to what Jesus said about this after he gave the greatest sermon on the Mount ever given. Amen. Matthew 7:24. Therefore, anyone who hears these words of mine and acts on them may be compared to a wise man who built his house upon the rock, and the rains fell, and the floods came, and the winds blew and slammed against the house, and yet it did not fall, for it had been founded on the rock. Listen, faith builds its entire life around the word of God. That's it. It believes God cannot lie. It believes his word will surely come to pass. Such was the case with Rahab's confession. According to your words, she said, so be it. If you go into a blacksmith's door, you'll probably hear the ring of metal beat against an anvil. You know, an anvil is that big piece of metal where they take the hammers and they put the metal down and they just smash on it. The interesting thing is they use those hammers to beat the metal into certain shapes on that big anvil. I was told if you go into a blacksmith shop, you'll find broken hammers all over the place. Because as they beat the metal on that anvil, the anvil doesn't break, but the hammers break. You know, God's word is an anvil. Skeptics have beaten upon it with their weak little hammers for centuries, only to find that the anvil is unharmed. And the hammers lay broken on the floor. I want to tell you this morning that the way you enter into salvation is by believing that for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever should believe on him should not perish, but have everlasting life. Stand on the word of God. It is true. Heaven and earth shall pass away, but my word shall never pass away. But secondly, the way it is secured is She acted in obedience to those words. Notice what the scripture says, and she tied the scarlet cord in the window. It seems rather insignificant, but it's the most significant part of the whole passage, those words. Because if she hadn't done it, she would have perished along with them. Now, in dealing with the subject of faith, and that's what we're talking about in the way we secure salvation, the subject of faith, the Apostle James uses the example of Rahab to show the genuineness of her faith. Listen to James chapter 2, verse 24 through 26. You see that a man is justified by works and not by faith alone. In the same way, was not Rahab the harlot also justified by works when she received the messengers and sent them out by another way? For just as the body without the spirit is dead, so also faith without works is dead. Now, James is not saying that Rahab's works saved Rahab. But what James is saying is that Rahab's works proved Rahab's faith. In other words, faith and works coexist together like the body and the spirit of an individual coexist together. And if my spirit or soul seeks to reside in my body here, everyone in this room would say, just as James said, Barrett's dead. So is what is true in regards to faith and works. If we say we have faith and we do not act in obedience to the word of God, our faith is dead. It's not real, it's not genuine, it's not alive. And this is the way in which Rahab secured her own safety. She put her trust in those words, and then she tied that scarlet cord in the window. Her obedience is what mattered. Listen, not her feelings of feeling saved. Now, some of you need to hear this, because there's a whole other side of the coin. There are some Christians who all they do is doubt their own salvation. Because they say, I don't feel like I'm saved. One of the great deceptions of the evil one is to use your emotions, to use your feelings, to use lies, to say, well, you don't really feel saved. Maybe not. Maybe you're not saved. And this tactic of the evil one often keeps us, I want you to hear this, from growing in Christ. Listen to Hebrews 6:1. Therefore, leaving the elementary teaching about the Christ, let us press on to maturity, not laying again a foundation of repentance from dead works and of faith toward God. We can be so wrapped up in doubting the faithfulness of God because we don't feel any different. But what we can do is look at our obedience. And as we obey, guess what? We can know that God has accepted us, that God has forgiven us, that God has granted to us salvation. And I find that the most people who deal in such a severely way about their own salvation, if they're truly honest, in a lot of ways, they're not walking with the Lord as they should. And as they walk with the Lord, their confidence in their own spiritual condition increases. And when they're not walking with the Lord, their confidence in their spiritual condition ceases. Walk with the Lord. Amen. Take God at His word, not on your feelings. And act in obedience. And guess what? Salvation is ours in the Lord Jesus Christ. We don't have to worry about the faithfulness of God. He is faithful. Faithful is His name. Amen. But lastly, I want you to see not only the way it's secured, not only it's the way of salvation. Notice how the blood is the way it strengthens saints. Verse 22 through verse 24, and they departed and came to the hill country and remained there for 3 days until the pursuers returned. Now the pursuers had sought them all along the road but had not found them. Then the two men returned and came down from the hill country and crossed over and came to Joshua the son of Nun. And they related to him all that had happened to him. And they said to Joshua, "Surely the Lord has given all the land into our hands. Moreover, all the inhabitants of the land have melted away." I want you to see that this story of the scarlet cord and all that had happened to the spies actually strengthened their faith. It strengthened them. I want to tell you, there's nothing that strengthens the life of the believer more than the blood of Jesus. It's not only one that supplies us peace with God. It's not only one that gives us forgiveness of sins. It's not only one that gives us eternal life. It's not only one that gives us access to the very throne room of God in order to find grace and mercy in time of need. But it also strengthens us to service. How much more will the blood of Christ, who through the eternal Spirit offered Himself without blemish to God, cleanse your conscience from dead works to serve the living God? The blood of Christ strengthens us supernaturally to serve God. We notice this, how the scarlet cord encouraged and strengthened here these particular spies. Now, why is it that the blood of Christ is so powerful this morning? It's a good question. We do know this, the blood of Christ is so precious to our Heavenly Father. We read in Scripture it is referred to as the blood of the Lamb. The Son of God was God in heaven, Lord of lords, King of kings before He came to this earth. He humbled Himself in order to please His Father, taking the form of a bondservant and made Himself no reputation. And that's one of the reasons I believe Christ's blood is so powerful. Because to Christ's Father, it is so precious. Jesus Christ is not merely the Lamb of God because He died on the cross. He died on the cross because in His very character, He is the Lamb of God. Meek, lowly, humble, subservient. What a Savior. This is what is so strengthening and so powerful about the blood of Jesus Christ. But notice quickly how this scarlet cord strengthened these particular saints. Verse 22, it strengthened them to obey first. You know, it was through this scarlet cord that these spies were saved. Amen. That's how they got out of the room and out down the wall. But God's grace doesn't give us, listen to this, the freedom to act unwise or presumptuously. In other words, God's preservation of their life, there in that room as they make their way down on that scarlet cord, is meant to lead us into Christian perseverance. God's preservation of your life, God's enablement by His Spirit and by His blood, is meant to lead you into Christian perseverance. We notice this in verse 22. You say, what do you mean, Barrett? Now, these spies could have easily said, after God saved them on that wall, we got to get back. I can't waste time. I can't wait 3 days here off the road. I know what Rahab told us, but we got to get back and tell Joshua the news. But they didn't act rashly or recklessly. They waited 3 days because God's grace to us should cause us to act in faith continually, though we are kept by the power of God. In other words, the spies didn't argue with Rahab or get in a hurry to get back. They waited 3 days just like they were instructed. There are some times in our lives where we do not cooperate with the grace of God. We act presumptuously. You remember the second temptation of our Lord in the wilderness? You remember when Satan tempted him and he said, throw yourself down, and he will give his angels charge concerning you. Our Lord responded, on the other hand, it is written, you should not put the Lord thy God to the test. You see, they had every opportunity to put the Lord to the test. Well, we've been saved. We'll just go through the particular path we came back. God will protect us. God will save us. God will keep us from any sort of harm. No, they didn't do that. They obeyed the instructions of Rahab because they thought it's better to act both humbly and wisely in this world than to act presumptuously. But secondly, it strengthened them to testify. You notice that's what they did in verse 23. Then the two men returned and came down from the hill country and crossed over and came to Joshua the son of Nun, and they related to him all that had happened to them. Do you know the blood of Jesus Christ, the scarlet cord here, strengthened them to actually testify to the people of God about what it did on their behalf? Let me tell you what happened. We were trapped in this home, but guess what? This scarlet cord, we don't even know where it came from, enabled us to get down out of that house and to escape from our adversary. They testified to the grace of God given to them. Brethren, when we meet together, when we leave our services, we should be testifying with one another to the grace of God given to us this week, to the grace of God given to us last month. Oh, Miss Betty, how God saved you in that. From the cancer, we should be testifying to one another. What a gracious God. All because of the blood of the Lamb. But thirdly and lastly, it strengthened them to claim victory. Verse 24, they said to Joshua, look at this. Surely the Lord has given all the land into our hands. Moreover, the inhabitants of the land have melted away before us. These spies, through everything they encountered, especially their deliverance from their enemies, confirmed in their hearts that we've got all the land. It's all mine. I want to tell you something. The meek one day will inherit the earth. You may not see it in this world we live in, but we shall see it one day, and we can claim the victory today. We can fight the good fight of faith. This is the victory that overcomes the world. Our faith. We know that God works all things together for them that love God and are called according to his purpose. For I am confident of this very thing, that he who began a good work in me is faithful to complete it until the day of Christ Jesus. I love that song that says, no guilt in life, no fear in death. This is the power of Christ in me. From life's first cry to final breath, Jesus commands my destiny. No power of hell, no scheme of man can ever pluck me from God's hand till he returns or calls me home. Here in the power of Christ, I stand. Can you say that this morning? It's only because Christ shed his blood for us. He made that way of escape. And I would ask those of you who have never trusted in the Lord Jesus Christ to consider, there is no other sign. There is no other way. Salvation is only in Christ Jesus. And he freely says, he who wills, let him come. He whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Would you come to Christ? And if you're struggling in your faith this morning, can I tell you, you can see, trust that God's word is true. And if you act upon the word of God and you identify yourself with Jesus Christ, you're his child. And you can rest in the fact that he saved you. Shall we pray? Thank you, Father, for Jesus, the Lord Jesus Christ. Thank you for the life he lived, for the death he died, that on that cross, some 2,000 years ago, both the love and justice of God met. And there, you said, Lord Jesus, it is finished. We thank you for that work, that scarlet cord that you gave unto us. We thank you for the person of the Lord Jesus Christ and what a Savior he is. We thank you that the blood of Jesus not only cleanses us, but strengthens us to do the will of God. Help us to live under its power as we trust you and love you and serve you. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Mm-hmm.